Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Announcing the Word, the radio voice of Among Friends Cowboy Ministries. Pastors Gene and Pamela Tatum invite you to join in as they share the Word of God in truth and in spirit. Among Friends Cowboys Ministries is the evangelistic outreach of Friendship Community Church in Looneyville, Texas, near the city of Nacogdoches. By God's divine appointment, Gene was led to open the doors to a small country church which had its humble beginnings in 1855. God has truly blessed this ministry. Now, here's Pastor Gene Tatum.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Announcing the Word broadcast. We're so happy to be with you here this evening, and we're just so pleased that you have decided to give us a listen. This is Brother Gene Tatum, and we have a broadcast for you this evening I know that you're going to be very, very excited about. A lot of things have been happening among our ministry, and we are thankful to the good Lord for it. We had a wonderful service Sunday in which we ministered a message that I will be playing on the air as soon as we're complete with the editing, entitled The Word Seed. This is the time of year that people get out into their gardens and they begin to plant and they begin to sow seed. And that garden begins to produce for them fruit and food that they can put up and preserve it for a time to come. Wife and I have a little garden along with our daughter and her husband on his farm. And I tell you what, working a garden, it's work. When they say they're going to work in the garden, yes, there, it's work. It's plenty of it. And we're so thankful that the Lord has given us the strength to do so. But I likened it unto the Word of God being the seed of which all things that exist came forth from. If you remember, after the first day, he had separated the darkness from the light and the light from darkness, and had come into the existence actually on the first day, and his coming into the existence of darkness brought in the light. And of course, on the second day, he divided the waters. And on the third day, ground appeared, and in that ground, he placed the seed. And I truly believe the seed of every living thing that exists in the earth was planted there. That's why on the sixth day, when he went to form man, he had to go back to the earth and form man of that earth, because the natural seed of man was in the earth and had been put there on the third day. So even though man was formed on the sixth day, he was then also the seed of God on the third day. My goodness, we could go on and on about that, but that's coming up in a message down the road. I've been trying to get this song to play here this evening. I have a very good friend that I'm very close to, not geographically, but by the Holy Spirit, Mr. Mike Holmes. He is a recording artist, has his own studio there in his home. He's become a very close friend of mine through an association known as the International Cowboy Church Alliance Network. Other words, shortly abbreviated, ICCAN, or ICAN. Of course, we know the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. There are a lot of good folk in that organization. I hate to call it an organization, but it's actually just a fellowship. It's there for the purpose of helping cowboy church ministries, whether they be song or testimony or preaching or churches, to have structure in their ministry. And I appreciate Mr. Holmes, Mike Holmes, my brother, for introducing that to me and coming into fellowship with such nice folks. I'm going to try this song one more time and see if I can get to go for you. This is Mr. Mike Holmes from Lithia, Florida, just out of Tampa. Here we go. He's doing a new work in my life.
alive today. There's a smile on my face. I don't even talk the same way. The things I once struggled with don't bother me anymore. I walked the devil across the room and showed him to the door. With this world's game. Don't need those fancy clothes, diamonds or tattoos. Just give me the love of Jesus and his many blessings will do.
Spiritually on. And when I say God's word, I know if you close your eyes and I say the word, many of you immediately are going to have a vision in your head, so to speak, or an image pop in there. You're going to see your Bible. That has been referred to and is the Word of God. But however, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread, that which is written, that which is substance, alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, we have 66 books. These 66 books are just an outline and just a guideline for man. Man was made on the sixth day. So there are 66 books accounted unto man for him to live by. Genesis to Revelation, pretty well the summation of much of what has happened in the world. We've been 6,000 years, and that's recorded there in the Word of God. And about 2,500 B.C., there was no written word until Moses, as he was crossing the children of Israel from Egypt over to the Promised Land through the wilderness, began to pen the things that we read beginning at Genesis and all the way up to the time of Moses. And then, of course, other writers took it on. As a matter of fact, it took 40 writers to compile the books that are contained within the Bible. But the Bible is not the total Word of God. I just quoted you a scripture where it said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, everybody can go to their Bible, and if I tell you to go to John chapter 3, and I tell you to look up a certain verse, you can go there and you can generally find that. If I take you one of the other books, maybe an Old Testament book like Nahum, y'all thought I was going to say something that's easy to find, didn't you? You might have a little more struggle getting to that book because it's kind of a minor prophet book and it's kind of small and not really easy to find. As a matter of fact, you probably couldn't tell me exactly where it's at in the Word of God. But nevertheless, that's beside the point. The point that I'm making is you have it to go to. But the preceding word that he is speaking of here, said, man shall not live by every word, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. Proceed means something's still coming. You see, you got to understand that we are reading the Bible of what has happened. Yeah, you said, but there's the book of Revelation. It's not complete yet. Well, in God, it is complete. It's already finished. If you look at the Word of God, it's finished as far as what's written. Proceeding word is that word that comes to you for today. A lot of folk don't get the word for today. They get what was spoken to Elijah. They get what was spoken to Isaiah, they get what was spoken to John the Baptist, they get what was spoken even by Jesus, they get what was spoken by the apostles, and they get what was, it was recorded, it was written. But have you received from the Father a proceeding word, a word that is continually working in you as being his voice speaking to you? This is where I want you to go to. I don't want you to think of just the Bible. I want you to think of the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. You see, that's John 1, verses 1 through 3. That Word became flesh, which we know was Jesus Christ. But that Word did not totally exist within Jesus, because we find many places where he, the Son of God, prayed to the Father, just like we pray to the Father. So here we are looking at a proceeding word versus that is written. But the only way you're going to know that the proceeding word you've received from the Lord through the Holy Spirit has got to line up with that is written. You see, many times Jesus said in his teachings, it is written. It is written. If you think you've heard a word from God, and you can't confirm that word by it is written, you need to disallow that word, wait on another witness or someone to come along and confirm that word with the word. the Lord speaks many times to people, and they just kind of pass it off. Let me give you an example of something that happened here on the farm this week, and maybe this will explain to you a proceeding word. I live here on the farm, and my stepfather, and now my dad of 42 years, has some cattle. And don't have a whole lot of cattle, just, you know, we've got a 50-acre farm here and handle 13, maybe 15, 16 head of cattle and with their calves and what have you. And so we've got a few cattle. Well, we had to pen them the other day and had to cut out some calves that we're going to take to the sale. And so I was looking at all these cattle. As a matter of fact, I took pictures of the whole thing and posted on Facebook, and they're good-looking cows, and I wanted everybody to kind of see what goes on the farm. Well, my eyes fastened on cow number 54. They had a yellow tag in her ear, and my mind fastened on that cow. Out of all the cows that I was looking at, cow 54 stood out in my mind. And I kept looking at that cow, and I kept saying, why am I focused on this cow? And I couldn't get any clear answer for that. Several days rolled along, and of course on Sunday I ministered on a message, and in that message, you know, I brought out how the Lord will speak to us, and we don't even really know that he's saying something because we're just not keen on listening to what he's trying to say. Well, a few days rolled along this week, and a neighbor come knocking on my door. My dad had to go in for a doctor's appointment and was not on the farm, and he was looking for somebody that was on the farm when I'm here on the corner of the farm, and he said, hey, you've got a cow in trouble. She was trying to have a calf, and undoubtedly the calf's head was turned or something, and she's walking around with one of the feet hanging out and another one trying to come out. And so I went out into the herd, and I found that cow. Would you believe that the cow that was in trouble, cow number 54, the end of the story is not a good one, because by the time the vet was able to get out to the farm and get the cow down and begin to administer on trying to get that dead calf out of her, the cow died. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me, you need to watch this cow. You need to pay attention to her. I did not actually even realize, you know, perhaps that she was calf. She looked heavy with calf, but we didn't know how close she was to her time. The Lord was trying to help me, and I missed the mark. And God taught me a lesson. If your mind fastens on anything, whether it be of a natural or a spiritual, any kind of significance at all, you need to pay attention. Now, chances are I could have told my dad, Dad, we need to watch that cow. I think something's going to happen with that cow. We need to pay attention to her the next few days. And perhaps we could have been a little more keener, maybe shut her up in the lot there that we could keep a closer eye on her and see what's going on with this cow. It's a little late. You know, spiritual insight is 20/20. Hindsight, spiritual hindsight is 20/20. That's the preceding word I'm talking about. God was trying to tell me something. And I had my business of trying to get these cows separated and help my dad. I missed the mark. How many times has that happened to you, my friend, that the Lord has tried to speak to you, cow 54, in a situation, and you've just passed it off as being a coincidence when really it was the voice of God? That's the preceding word. God was giving me a word to watch that cow. And that same thing applies to things in the scripture. Or if the Lord was to speak to you a certain phrase, go to the scriptures and find it. The word is. It is the word seed. It is the spiritual seed that God has planted within us to bring forth spiritual life. We walk through this earth sometimes on a daily basis and never give thought to what God is doing in our life. It's sad, isn't it? We wait till Sunday to hear from God. God can speak to you on Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. He can speak to you in the daytime. He can speak to you at night. The problem is as John wrote in the book of Revelation, seven times he said, let he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Lord is saying to the church. Oh, my goodness. Now, that brings us to what I want to talk to about tonight. When I said Christians don't have a real understanding maybe of the Word of God, I know that when we get to the book of Revelations, a lot of Christians, they stay away from that book. It's a lot easier to understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Revelations, it seems that over a period of time, had so many interpretations and so many interpreters and so many what ifs. Some might say this means that, and that means this, and we don't really have a full understanding of what the book of Revelations is. We got to remember that when John wrote the book of Revelations 2,000 years ago, he didn't have a lot of visual images in his mind that he was trying to liken what he was seeing to. And so a lot of the things that he identified as looking like something, then he might have kind of, not completely described it as to really what it was. For example, when he said he saw these huge locusts, maybe he was seeing helicopters. I don't know. He saw these different things, and this fire out of heaven being, atomic bombs. You know, he had no other way to describe it other than the understanding that he had. So, you can look at this. Those are just little examples. But there's one thing that he made very clear, and I want to read it to you in the Word of God here for just a moment. One thing he made very clear in the book of Revelation, he said in verse 9 of chapter 1, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. Now, I want you to focus on that for just a moment. I know that the church teachings concerning the tribulation comes at the end. I know what they teach. There are those who teach that tribulation will begin before the rapture takes place, and then midway the rapture will happen, and then the tribulation will finish. I know there are those that preach that the church will be gone before the tribulation starts, and then I know there are those that teach that the church will go through tribulation, and then he'll take us out when it's done. I don't want to get into that. That's not what I'm here to talk about. I don't care how you believe it. This. John was already in tribulation. My God, he'd been put on the Isle of Patmos. He'd been exiled from the church. Being separated from the brothers in Christ was tribulation enough, I would think. Not counting the fact he'd been boiled in oil and didn't die. Not counting the fact that his exiled state of being and mind certainly might have been a little wavered as far as his flesh was concerned. But the thing is, he recognized he was in tribulation then. It wasn't something to come for John in the future. He was in the middle of it. He was in tribulation. The whole church was in tribulation. They were all being persecuted. They were all being fed to lions. They were all being crucified upside down. They were all being flogged. They were all being imprisoned. They were already in tribulation. Tribulation, the word tribulation, it comes from a Greek word that means to be tried, to be tested. We're in tribulations daily. And here we want to put some kind of 7-year period on it or a 1,000-year period on it as something to come. Listen, I've been through 2 or 3 months of some of the most trying times in my life. I've been in tribulation. I have a fellow brother with me in that tribulation. His name was John. 2,000 years ago, John wrote about being in tribulation. So I'm looking at the scripture saying, oh, I'm not going through anything any worse than what John went through. So what did he say? And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, stop right there. I was in the Spirit. Now, here is a flesh man exiled on a little old island called Patmos, and he said he was in the Spirit. In other words, he had somehow managed, in his state of mind and being, gotten into the spiritual realm with Jesus Christ. And he said this, on the Lord's day. Now, I know that the Lord's day brings up another question in many, many people's minds. Is it the seventh day or is it Sunday? Is Sunday the seventh day? Sunday is the first day of a new week. The Lord's day to the Jew was the Sabbath, which was the seventh. But here John said, I was on the Lord's day. Now, the early church, in keeping with the law, because they lacked understanding until Paul came along and began to kind of open up their understanding as to what the condition or the situation of the law was in relationship to them. The law said they could not go with so many furlongs on the Sabbath day. But they wanted to assemble themselves on a day in the week that they could come together for strength, for fellowship, and for teaching and ministering of the word. So they had to pick the next day, the first day of a new week. And they began to assemble on the first day of a new week, which was Sunday. Therefore, all of our Christian forefathers assembled themselves on the first day of a new week. Now, put one day above another day. We should live for God Monday through Sunday, or Sunday through Saturday, whichever way you want to look at it. Some people say, well, you know, my first day of work is Monday, so the seventh day would be Sunday, so that's why I go to church on Sunday. They say, wait a minute, my work day, because I work at Walmart, I have to work on Sunday, so my seventh day is going to be Saturday. Don't get technical with me. The Lord's day is the day that the Lord is in. Simply that. I mean, he was in the Lord's day. He wasn't in his man-made day. He was in the Lord's day. It could have been a Monday. It could have been a Wednesday. Wherever the Lord is, that's a day. So whatever day it was, we're not going to argue whether it was on a Saturday or whether it was on a Sunday. He was in the Spirit of the Lord's day. The Lord's day is every day in a Christian's life. We should never isolate God to require him to only work with us on a given day. If we come together on a Thursday evening, and that is the day we assemble to be taught and to fellowship around the Word of God, that is the Lord's day for us. If we come together on a Sunday, that is the day that the Lord has us to assemble, and we fellowship and we eat of his word and we break bread. That is the Lord's day. So he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. He specified seven churches that John was to write to. All seven of these churches existed in the day churches established in each one of these seven cities or places or towns, whatever you want to call it. Now, he had a letter to each one of those seven churches. And I know that many Christians have been taught those were literal letters that were written to literal churches and that have no spiritual significance to us today. Hello, why don't you just say, well, Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, and he finished the work, and it was done, and it has no spiritual significance for us today. That would be an idiotic way of presenting Calvary, would it not? I believe that every scripture that is written in the Word of God, from in the beginning, God, to amen, and to end the book of Revelation, has spiritual significance. I believe that when a mark was set on Cain in the very beginning because he slew his brother, that has spiritual significance, that if a man hateth his brother, he has committed murder already. It has spiritual significance that Cain would say, am I my brother's keeper? You get my point? The point is, every scripture, every story has a spiritual significance. I believe, and I teach, that each one of these seven churches represented a spirit that was going to be governing the body of Christ over a space of time. And we call them the seven church ages or seven church periods. For 2,000 years, the church has been in this, been here. And each of those seven describes the condition that the church was in over a certain period of time. And you've got to get this in your head. Ephesus was the first church, and Ephesus represented the first age, which was a period of time that that church spirit was in existence. In other words, Ephesus was from a period of time after the cross, around AD 30, to about 100 to 170. I know that there are a lot of churches out there named Apostolic Church, either organizations that are calling themselves apostolic. As a matter of fact, I come out of a Pentecostal or apostolic or apostolic, as it was abbreviated, church. I grew up in a Pentecostal church with a Pentecostal mother taking me to a Pentecostal Sunday school. I was baptized in water in a Pentecostal church. I was told I had to speak in tongues to be saved in that Pentecostal church, and I had to be separate from my in my life. I couldn't partake of any worldly activities. I couldn't go watch TV. It goes on and on and on and on. And they refer to that as being apostolic. The word apostolic means by the apostles. The disciples, of which there were 11, now they elected another one to take Judas' place, but we didn't hear a whole lot about him. You know, there wasn't anything really written about him, and he kind of filled that slot to Paul come along. So Paul would be that 12th apostle, by my way of thinking, that would have taken the place where Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, and Paul, being of the nature that he was, how God had converted him from his thinking and his ideology as to his relationship toward the Christians, that seemed to fit that he would be an apostle. And the apostolic movement is that movement or that period of time of the apostles. They were following the teachings of the apostles. It is your true apostolic church. The church is under the leadership and the direction of the disciples who had become the apostles in the early church. You know them by name: Peter, Paul, James, Bartholomew, and it goes on and on and on. It's not going to take time to list them all. But they were apostles. Even old Thomas, the doubter, you know, established churches. So these were the apostolic churches. This was the apostolic age. Your next age would be about 100 to 70 to about 313 by some historian. That's your Smyrna church. That's when the Romans began to highly persecute the church during the time of the Roman persecution of the church, because they were persecuted in Ephesus, but it seems to have really escalated after 100 or so A.D. Then 313 to 600, you have the age of Constantine, which would be the Pergamos church. Then from 600 to about 1517, that's probably one of the longest, about 917 years, you had a period known as the Dark Ages, and that would Pergamos church. And then from about 1517 to 1648, you have your Reformation church, which was Sardis, and that's when Martin Luther came along and separated himself from the papal system and from the Catholic Church and began what we know as the Protestant movement and brought the whole world out of the Dark Ages during the Reformation period of time. Then from 1649 to 1900, you've got the great missionary movement of the church. And this is when you had people like John Wesley and those fellows begin to really bring in the Word of God in a greater understanding and greater knowledge. That happened until about 1900, about 351 years there of the Philadelphian period. Then from 1900 until present, we've got that age we know as Laodicea, which is the apostate church, the church that is in trouble, the church that Jesus could not find anything good to say about, the church that has mixed with the deeds of the Nicolaitans and the Jezebel spirits and just cold. He said, "Would you be hot or cold? But since you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth." That is the age we're in, folks. As a matter of fact, that age is already passed. God's not even there yet. I hate to shock you, but he said, "Come out from among her and be not partaker of her plagues." Get out of that church. Get out of that system. Get out of that man-made rule. Get to where you're following Christ. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a pastor. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a teacher. I'm simply saying don't follow after those systems of church government that puts men over men and deacons over pastors and things of that nature. That's the Laodicean church. They've left the principles of the doctrines of Christ. They've left the teachings. Really, they have. They've gone to more of an entertainment-type program. They've gone to doing all kinds of programs and things that there to get people in. And it's just not the Word of God, folks. I'm sorry. It is a mess, and you know it's a mess. Somebody gets offended, and they grab a little group over here and they go start another mess. And one mess creates another mess. You cannot improve upon something if you started out wrong to begin with. Can't we get that in our head? You started under the wrong spirit with the wrong attitude and with the wrong mind. It's never going to work. You're just going to create another mess. That's where Laodicea is today. And during that period of Laodicea, you had World War I and World War II as far as history is concerned. You had the state of Israel becoming, in 1948, becoming recognized as a nation. You had Jerusalem united under Jewish control in the war, Six-Day War of 1967. And now you have this false peace and security. Friends, we're at the end of it. Whether you want to accept it or not, all seven of these churches existed in the first days. And I'm here to tell you, there are Philadelphia churches, and there are Sardis churches, and Thyatira, and Pergamos, and Smyrna, and Ephesus-type churches within that last age. But the predominating spirit over the age is the spirit of Laodicea, just like it was in 1649 to 1900, when the Philadelphian church was a predominant spirit of brotherly love over all of these churches. There was still a Laodicea church in there somewhere. There was still a Sardis church in there somewhere, a Thyatira. even in those ages, all these spirits still exist dominant over the age. Do you get my drift? Yes, it has significance. And we've come to the end of the age. As a matter of fact, I would have to say that Laodicea probably ended as far as God's working with her somewhere around 1945 to 1970. I'm giving it a long span there. The reason I'm saying that is so many men have predicted or said that that's when that age would end. I don't know for sure. Only God knows. But I'm telling you, if you're in one of those churches that's lukewarm, you need to get out of there. You need to go where the word's being taught. You need to hear the word of the Lord. And you need to come out from among them and not be partakers of their plans. Boy, I'm exhausted on this one. I tell you, the Holy Spirit just really went to work on us here tonight, didn't he? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness to us. We thank you for the word of God. We're asking for a preceding word. We're asking for that word to come down from God out of heaven. Lord, John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And Lord, make every day the Lord's day in our life. Make every day a day of song and praise and lifting you up. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the anointing of your power. Asking you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, to open up the hearts and the minds of people who have heard this broadcast. God, we're in 6-6 shape in this nation because our churches are in 6-6 shape. Every politician's got a preacher, and that preacher is responsible for what that politician does. I'm sorry. I don't blame the politicians for this country and the shape it's in. I blame the church. I blame the pastors and the teachers. I blame those that are in authority in spiritual places for not preaching the word of God and preaching it the way it is. Bless us now, Father. Heal our nation, heal our land. Forgive us of our many, many sins.
As I walk through the door, felt his presence, and I knew this was the place where love abounds. For this is a temple Jehovah God abides in. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know all around. Let us praise Jesus now, for we are standing in his presence on holy ground.
Well, friends, I'm going to run out of time here before the song finishes, but I just want to tell you, we hope you enjoyed tonight's lesson and hope you'll tune in next week, same time. God bless you, is a prayer. May all the trails you take in life be happy trails. Adios, cowboys. Good night.